Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz interview series with jazz pianist, composer, and band leader George Burton. We caught up with him about his new 2022 CD, Reciprocity. Since his arrival in New York, he has been on the radar of everyone who follows innovations in jazz. Born and raised in Philadelphia, he grew up playing classical violin and viola while absorbing gospel and blues at home and in high school. And he went on to play with Philly hard bop legend Bootsy Barnes and learning the subtleties of the genre from some of the veteran pianists on the Philly scene, notably Sid Simmons and Shirley Scott. He's got a story full of great anecdotes and more. Enjoy.
Hey, thank you for taking a minute out today for Neon Jazz. I appreciate it.
Oh, no problem.
So I really enjoy the new album, Reciprocity. And before we get into kind of the artistic nuts and bolts of this project, I want to know, how does it feel after 2 years of COVID and very few live shows in the world kind of be, you know, it just kind of got turned upside down for artists? How did this release feel for you?
It's interesting. It's a mix of a lot of emotions. The release is it's not brand new actually. It came out during COVID, during the pandemic, and it didn't. You know, a lot of things were up, a lot of things were down. So you know, it was released, and then it didn't make it to like radio. But it's okay, I guess, the release. I mean,
now that it's out and it's getting radio play, and all of that starting to happen, the potential for live shows, how does that feel?
I mean, it feels great. I mean, I want to get the music out there. I want to, you know, play it, get other, more people exposed to the music. But it's, you know, it's one of those things. It's still a mix of emotions. You know, whenever you release anything, it can be, you know, big rush. It can be, you know, because you never know what they expect once it reaches radio, once it reaches publications of that nature. And it's kind of like your baby to a certain extent.
So what about shows? Have you been playing any live shows to promote it?
I haven't. I played a couple shows during the pandemic. They were live on-stream shows that were, like, kind of weird. They were kind of awkward. I've done some shows in Harrisburg, but I didn't really play too many live shows. As the pandemic was opening back up, people were still on the fence about if they wanted to play. It's a lot better now, but it's to a certain extent, I'm trying to evolve that particular project. So I've been doing live shows, a lot of Simon gigs I've been doing, actually, just so that I can clear my head and dive into other people's music. But as far as live shows, it's fun here and there. I did one in Harrisburg. I did one in a few of them in Pittsburgh, a couple in Detroit, in Philadelphia, obviously. So, you know, we've done some live shows, not as many as I would like, but we've done some live shows of the music.
So talk to me a little bit about how you put this album together. What was the vision for this album?
The vision for this album was pretty, I don't know. Over the years, of my idea of music has become a very wide slab of mixing a lot of different things. And when I went to put together this album, I had quite a few tunes that I knew were a little bit different, and a few ideas and a few concepts that I was trying to put in play. But the hardest thing for me was trying to put them all together on one album and make them fit, where it's not, you know, one track after another track after another track of like the same type of tunes. And I'm really big into, you know, the history of the music and talking to the elders and everything. So at the time when I started putting together this album, I was touring with the Sonar Orchestra at the time, which I had access to Marshall Allen, you know, for 2 months in Europe. So we talked a lot and I interviewed him myself and talked about music. And one of the things that I went about it was like, this was his idea of music is what I wanted to get through in this particular album more than anything else. You have all these different styles of music, all these different styles of tunes, and trying to put them together, but the idea of what music actually is what I was really trying to get across, as best as I could from my perspective, and from a perspective of somebody who has been doing it for longer than anybody on this planet, maybe, who's actively playing jazz.
So what do you ultimately hope the listener gets from this album?
I don't really have any expectations from the listener. I just hope they enjoy the music, you know, and get something out of it. You know, as Marshall was saying, you know, on some of the tracks on the album, you know, it's like music can be for music is more than you know, it's jazz players and as musicians, you can get into the technical aspects of it all. You know, what chords are this and what style did this come from and this and that. But you know, from that perspective, I want the listeners to get an honest experience, you know, an experience that kind of maybe moves them a little bit, you know, maybe have them rethink, you know, have other thoughts in their mind, like not get so obsessed with, you know, the technicalities of the music itself. So it's a point where they can breathe, you know, listen to music and actually breathe and have a honest reflection on whatever they're checking out or going through.
You're from Philadelphia originally. When you grew up, you were playing the violin and the viola. And I'm curious,
yeah,
when did that crossover begin for you, where you were either listening to jazz or decided that that was going to be your path?
I grew up playing violin and viola, but I had actually was already playing piano. So I was playing violin and piano, but later on I started playing viola. Obviously, I was classical. My mom was a violin teacher for 30 years, and my dad was a piano teacher, so I was deep into music. And my training, it wasn't until I got to high school that I met they were like the cool kids in school, and I was, you know, the only guy with the violin. And I was like, well, you know, I'm trying to play in the jazz bands and everything, and they were like, well, we don't really need a violin. And I kind of was like, well, I play piano too. So that's kind of how it happened in a very basic way. But it's ever since then, it's been just my direction.
Who were early influences for you? What music were you listening to? Or what was the first live jazz show you saw that was really magnanimous?
The first live jazz show I saw probably was in about like 1995 or 96. And I went to, I've seen a couple jazz shows here and there, but there was a club in Philadelphia called Orton's Jazz House that's no longer around. But it was around for years, and it was like this staple, and it had like, you had like, you know, Shirley Scott, Trudy Pitts, you know, Mickey Roker, you know, Sam Doherty. So all these Philadelphia jazz musicians always played at this club. And I remember the first time walking in this club and seeing, you know, Miss Shirley Scott, who I didn't know exactly who she was at the time. I was very young, play. And I remember like watching and being like, what is happening? Like, you know, just her, the you know, how her and Mickey Roker played so well together. Like, it was beyond, like, you know, my high school buddies playing jazz. And it was from that point on, I think the first year or first 2 years, the only shows that I saw were in that venue or another couple other venues. And, you know, yeah, like Charles Stafford was playing there a lot with Tim Worsfold at the time. You had, you know, Nicholas Pate would come through when he was in town, or whoever was in town will always come through. So I saw the best shows at that particular venue as opposed to like a particular show. Because it was one, they were amazing players, the best of the best, and it was consistent.
What about Bootsy Barnes? What did you learn during that tenure? Was that one of the first kind of big gigs
yeah.
that you had?
Well, that was Bootsy. Well, Bootsy was, because he played at this club, Orton's, a lot, and like, you know, I was there for the jam session every Tuesday. I was there to see the trio or see Bootsy Barnes every Wednesday. I was there to see, like, you know, I was literally living in that place to get as much information as possible. And he was one of the first, you know, elder musicians to give me a real gig, you know, and it was hard, and I got beat up, but, you know, he was giving these lessons, you know, on the bandstand, which is, you know, lessons on a bandstand. So he gave me a bunch of gigs, and from there, I guess my name's sort of kind of got around, and I started playing with Odean Pope after that. I ended up playing with him for quite a long time. You know, the Philadelphia scene was pretty much where I got my first quote unquote big gig, but Bootsy was, I guess he saw something in me, or he wanted to, you know, show me what it was really about, and he did, you know, so.
Well, the one thing that jazz has always been really good about is that the elder statesmen they've always passed that torch along, and you've been around elder statesmen and a lot of kind of the older esteemed musicians. What did you learn from them that you in turn teach younger musicians that you get around?
That you just can't stop learning. You can't stop learning. You take everything in, you keep learning, and there's certain things that, you know, are like the history and the tradition, but you got to keep your ears open to understand the other conversations that's happening also. And that seemed to be the most consistent theme across everybody I've played with over the years.
What is it that you like the best about being a professional musician? I mean, aside from, you know, you get to create music on a regular basis, but there's so much that goes into this process. What do you look forward to the most every day?
I think it's just being honest with myself and the music, you know, it's something like, you know, it's I try not to get wrapped up into all these other things, but it's something that, you know, being a musician, it's, I always tell, you know, my students, or, you know, it's one of the things that, you know, that people can't take away from you is information, you know, and it's like, you know, it's like I'm always studying, I'm always checking out more music, and it's that every day it's something new. It's something new to think about, a new concept. And for me, that's everything, you know. Even if I get to play the piano or if I don't, I'm always working at it in some way, shape, or form, and it's forever mine, you know, to some certain extent. Well, my music and my ideas of music and what I'm learning, it's, you know, not the best thing for me, but I like.
What do you like the best about being a part of the Philadelphia jazz scene? What is it that is the best part of it?
It's funny that you say that. I've been living in Brooklyn for a long time, almost a couple of decades. But I'm clearly from the Philadelphia jazz scene. And I was talking to somebody about this the other day. It's Philly. Philly is probably, in my opinion, is one of the best learning cities for the arts as a child. You know, when I was growing up in Philly, then we're talking about not just the Philly jazz scene, we're talking about the Philly scene in general. Because I played violin, you know, I was around like people like Renard Edwards, who's the violist in the Philadelphia Orchestra, you know, and like a lot of these orchestra members would come into the jazz clubs, and the jazz cast would go over to, you know, to check out the orchestras and everything. But these are also the same cats that would pass our names around and be like, hey, you know, we heard this one kid, you should check him out. And then we all get like lessons with all these amazing players across the board, that they were willing to give their time to, like Bootsy, you know, was just like, you know, I'm going to put you in a gig so that you can learn how to do this. And that's something that it's a universal thing in Philadelphia. Even Diane Monroe, you know, who's, I don't know if you know, she's, you know, jazz violinist, and a classical violinist, and she put me on my first, you know, opera gig, which was like mixing. You know, it's, but they're always willing to support their scene and the cast that are coming up in their scene as if, you know, and they teach you the whole time, like, don't do this, don't do that. And, you know, it's Philadelphia, you know, it's our thing, you know, it's passing that torch, passing that information. It's literally what the city itself does, jazz scene, the classical scene, even the fringe music scene, the art scene, the dance scene, and all kind of runs that same way, which is pretty amazing to me. And I haven't seen it to that level since, even all the years I've been in New York.
If you could go back in time, you could get into a time machine and see any performer in the realm of jazz perform live, where are you going? Who are you going to see?
It will honestly be, being from Philly, there's a certain time frame of like when, you know, the cats were like, you know, doing this. And I got to see McCoy Tyner quite a few times before he passed, but I have this thing where I wanted to see McCoy Tyner with like John Coltrane in that very specific period. Like the stories that I hear about what was actually happening versus what we hear on the records was like two totally different things. And it's like that McCoy or that band during, you know, that time period was one of, like, if I could go back, I would just 1 hour of that would make my world.
You've got a lot of mileage on your jazz odometer, so to speak, and I'm curious, if you go back to when you were just starting out to become a professional musician, you have a dream tonight, you run into your younger version, and you could give that young version one piece of advice based on what you've learned throughout all these years. What would you tell your young version?
Oh, that's a hard one. Just, you know, I was saying this earlier, just try to be as honest with yourself as possible. There's so many different influences and so many different opinions. And, you know, one of the things that we all get often caught up in is living through somebody else's opinion as opposed to living through ourselves.
It's a relatively simple question, but it's actually quite deep. Why do you love jazz?
It's relatively simple, but it's not. Why do I love jazz? I mean, I don't know if I so wholeheartedly just love jazz. I'm an individual I'm just generally into music all the way around the board. Jazz is just the style of music that I've chosen to express myself, or which I think I can express myself the best with. And I love it. You know, it's the history and the, but I'm still the type of person who's checking out everything else also, you know. So it's just the means of how I can express myself the best, if that makes sense.
So everyone has a perception of you, your family, your friends, your fans, but ultimately you live your life. You have a perception of you. Who do you think you are?
I'm never going to know that. still trying to figure that out all the time. Like, it's like, I'm just, next week I'll think I'm somebody else. Next week after that, I'll think I'm somebody else. my perception of myself is just, you know, I don't know if I particularly have one to that level. Because I feel like I'm always changing and I always will continue to change.
Cool. I like it, George. Thank you for taking some time out today. Good luck with the album and the return to the stage, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks
for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview. We give you a bit of insight into the finest players and minds in Philadelphia, Kansas City, and spots all over the world, giving fans all that jazz. Thanks to George for his time, music, and story. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Domino on the iTunes Store. Visit NeonJazz at YouTube.com. And for everything Neon Jazz, go to the NeonJazz.blogspot.com. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.